There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa. It's the Christmas brunch and we're hanging up the lights on the tree and getting the festive spread ready as we celebrate the best of Christmas with music, movies and our favourite food. Pull up a chair and join us at the table as we serve up a fabulous festive feast. Joining me in studio are Chef Mark Evans, Product Development Manager at Spinney's. Plus, it's become a bit of a tradition to invite our Dubai Today regulars, Keith Littlewood, Rehabilitation and Performance Coach at Balance Body Mind, and Chastity O'Connell, Mental Health Counsellor at the Human Relations Institute and Clinics.
Oh yeah, candles burning low, lots of mistletoe.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. Friends and family coming together for the holidays can only mean lots of presents, great food and memories to be made. Are you doing your Christmas shopping right now as we speak? What's going into your trolley? What will you be serving up at the table this season? Share what you're up to now. And to welcome into the studio for our Christmas brunch, hello and welcome to Chef Mark Evans, Product Development Manager at Spinney's. Hello.
Hello.
Great to have you back with us. Plus, it is a tradition now that we have our Dubai Today regulars, some of them at least, remembering the rest as always. But Keith Littlewood is here and Chastity O'Connell. Hello.
Good morning, Sally.
Yes, you can speak. Yes,
I was trying to be more chivalrous, but I jumped in before
there
was a moment of silence.
You were. How are you?
Well, I'm better than I was last week.
Good.
Certainly better. Getting there. Ready to eat food.
That's something we need to talk about. Just, you know, keeping it healthy as well in the Christmas period, because we're prone to overdoing it and going crazy with the fantastic food. There is so much going on, but we do want to keep it healthy. You're going to give us some of those tips as well as Chef Mark. But Chastity, good to have you. It's your first time.
Yes, I'm excited to be here.
On the Christmas brunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're glad that you are able to join us as well. If I know you well, Chastity, I know that you love this time of year.
Yes, I do.
It's very special to you and your family.
How did you know that?
Oh, gosh. not difficult to guess, but for you, why is it so special?
I think it's interesting. It goes through waves in some ways, where now that I have little children and getting to relive Christmas through their eyes, and I don't know, it's just the time of the year where you start sort of focusing on what's important. I think about my priorities. I think about, you know, how to create a Christmas that is something that is going to be a lasting memory in the children's minds, but also keeps them coming back year after year. So in 30 years, when they have families of their own, they want to come back home too.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. It really is about, you know, making those traditions getting those... it's every year. That's something that you all come back towards. Everybody, the whole family comes back to. We come to that, come back to the special meal and to the special food. But how do you keep it interesting every year as well? Chef Mark, it's a huge time of the year for you, of course, at Spinney's.
Very busy.
You're rushed off your feet.
Yeah, the stores are as well, so, you know, all the colleagues are working hard.
But you're doing amazing work at the moment. You've got the Spinney's 92 Cycle Challenge coming up this
tomorrow.
Yeah. And you're going to be busy. Actually, what you're presenting today is pretty much what you're going to be serving up tomorrow.
Well, look, we've got the warm mulled fruit punch, and traditionally at the final day of the race, we always serve it to everyone. And so when they come back, they've got something warming. Not that all of them need it because they've been cycling for like 90 kilometres, but we do that every year, and we also have a food van, and we'll be doing some pancakes and some barbecue as well.
Just a lovely treat for everybody who's going to be cycling their legs off tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you've got some friends there as well, haven't you? So,
yeah, definitely. There's a lot. I know a lot of people who are going to be taking part as well. But for you, what makes this time of year so special? What do you love about it?
I think it's just there's a smile on everyone's face, isn't there? You know, and there's a lot of warmth and happiness that, you know, I think is across the world, really.
There's nothing like feeding people, though, into happiness,
no.
Is there? Nothing says happiness like feeding somebody, and food really does that. It just brings everybody together. But we do want to get tips from you as well on how to keep it stress-free, because it's very easy to think, oh, I'm going to create this incredible feast, this incredible meal, but actually it's really stressful, and you just want to keep it simple. Where do you start?
I mean, I think what you've got to do is plan ahead, understand the age group of the people that are coming, what their expectations are, you know, how big's your oven, how big's your turkey, you know, could be a problem, how big's your refrigeration.
Do you find a lot of people underestimate how small their oven can be?
I've seen my mother wrestling on the floor Christmas morning. But yeah, I think it's one of them. To take away the stress, these are the sort of things you need to think about. And, you know, just plan ahead. Joe and I were talking earlier, you know, simple things that you're going to have a smoked salmon canapé in a minute. The smoked salmon can already be rolled into a rose onto a plate and cling filmed. The cream cheese, this is going to have a horseradish cream cheese, can already be made. Biscuits or wafers, buy them in. We sell loads of Spinney's. Get the water biscuits or whatever, take away the pressure, have some nice herbs already picked. And then as your guests arrive, it's all ready. You just assemble and send out them.
And the nice thing is, if you've kind of pre-prepared some of it, takes the pressure off. But as you say, when you come to assemble it, you can get some help as well in the kitchen. You know, you've got friends around or the kids as well. Get them to help with assembling things and putting those final touches on. Because that's the last thing you want to be worried about, all the preparation beforehand. So that is definitely one of the biggest tips as well for getting your Christmas lunch well underway. Keith, what about you? In terms of Christmas time, what does it mean? What are the best bits for you?
Well, traditionally, it was always going to my grandparents, and I have some really fond memories of Christmas feast there. This year is actually quite different for us because it's the first time we don't have anyone staying with us or flying in, or we're not flying anywhere, but we have just the kids, the three kids, and myself and my wife, and we're just going to enjoy it on our own for once, which is actually a new experience for us, but it won't detract any less. It's just actually we can concentrate on all the important things going on around us, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's a nice change, actually, because most of us, particularly with the great Dubai weather, we expect family to come and stay, and which can be wonderful, but at the same time, it can be really full on, and you just think, how on earth? So it's quite good to kind of, you know, take it quiet, take it easy for a while.
Yeah, but we have chickened out. I mean, with all this extra time available, you'd think we might be cooking our own dinner, but we're not. I will get round to it one year. There's something about getting hold of the turkey and cooking everything to perfection that we've kind of in Dubai, we've done it twice, where we've kind of farmed out and just bought the turkey and the accessories in. So if we're here next year for it, I'm going to have a good bash at it.
Well, if Mark has anything to do with it, Chef Mark has anything to do with it, you will be doing it, I think, next year.
Well, you may have to come and prep up with me next time.
Yeah, I'll happily take some lessons for sure.
Nobody can give better lessons than Chef Mark. But, I mean, for someone who's never done it before, is it something that you should be wary of?
I think it's also quite stressful because you're thinking, I was saying earlier, how many guests are coming? So first thing you say is, well, how big a turkey should I get? Because normally we're having turkey curry on New Year's Day, aren't we? Because you get a turkey that's five times the size of what you need. So for a guide, a whole turkey, 3 to 4 kilos, will serve 6 to 8. You remember, most turkeys are nearly 50% carcass. So you only get 50% meat when you come down to it. If you want a bigger bird, 4 to 6 kilos will serve 8 to 12 people. And then a 6 to 8 kilo will serve the entire street of about 12 or 16 people.
Well, these are the things that we need to know before we start with our turkey dinner. If you've got any tips, what you're going to be doing for your Christmas lunch, we'd love to know. 4001 or on the app is how you can get in touch. Also, tell us what your favourite memories are for Christmas. What are you doing? What are your traditions? Plus, we're going to be talking music. We're going to be talking movies. There's a lot that we're going to be covering today, as well as the fantastic food. Courtesy of Chef Mark and Spinney's. And don't forget, you've got the 500 dirham voucher from Spinney's that we're going to be giving away. We're going to be giving you clues to our mystery ingredient competition. I'm going to say it again. I have not had mince pies before. So this, yes, Chef Mark's giving me the eyebrow going, how is that possible? Yes, Joe outed me last week saying, how on earth have you never had a mince pie? But that's going to be rectified today, Joe.
It will.
Yes.
Live on air.
Live on air. Exactly. So I'm really looking forward to that. So new experiences and old, that is what we are talking about today. But coming up next, we are going to be talking food news. And if you fancy a bit of quackling, we're going to talk about the word that has got Nigella Lawson fans in a frenzy. Yes, the food has already started rolling out, and I can tell you, it is absolutely delectable. The starters are coming out thanks to Chef Mark. We're going to get to those in just a moment. You're already licking your fingers, Keith.
Did you say it was kind of like a Dyson Hoover, the way it went from my hand into my mouth?
You completely went for it there, and I do not blame you because, amazing starters that we're going to be talking about in just a moment with Chef Mark. But we're talking a little bit of food news.
The latest food news.
And a word that's got everyone into a big, big frenzy, even though I said to Jo when she saw this article, I've heard of that before. Quackling. For those of us who are fond of certain meats and the lovely layer of fat that is on the outside of those meats as they tend to roast in the oven or are grilled or whatever it is, that can be a thing of absolute magic. But Nigella Lawson, as she has been cooking some duck, in fact, in one of her latest videos, she referred to the outer layer of the skin as quackling. And so this has got everybody into a frenzy. Rather than the crackling, it is quackling. And everybody's gone crazy for this, thinking that she's invented this word. But she hasn't, actually. But this has just gone completely viral on social media. The crispy skin of the duck being referred to as quackling, it just makes complete sense, doesn't it? When you talk about roasting meat, even you can do it with lamb even. If you just have that layer of fat, it can just make all the difference, can't it, Chef?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, quackling's been around a little while, but it is more about getting that reduction and crispiness into the skin and that actual intense flavour, the caramelisation. It's called a Maillard effect in French, and it's about cooking meat and browning it, and that browning caramelises the sugars, and that's what gives it a fantastic taste.
Let's listen to Nigella talking about it here.
What I used to do is boil the duck first, but I really thought at this time of year, who needs to be wrangling ducks out of a big pan of boiling water? So now I steam roast them for the first time. So the first stage, the steam roasting, keeps the meat lusciously tender. And the final quick blitz in a hot oven means that the skin is bronzed and crisp, wafer thin, with delicate shards of quackling.
Oh my goodness. Listening to her describe it there, of course, as she always describes anything, it just makes your mouth water, doesn't it? Do you need to boil the duck first? What's the best way, Chef?
I mean, whatever's easiest for the equipment you've got at home. I think both ways will work fine.
Mm.
But it's really getting it cooked through, keeps the moisture. It's a bit like a turkey in some respects. You know, it's got a much larger frontal part of the animal than the legs. So to try and cook the meat through, often it can be overcooked very easily. So by doing it that way, it's very similar to what we call in the trade sous vide, which is where we would put it into a vacuum in a pouch and cook it in a water bath.
Mm-hmm.
And that keeps all the juices in. And actually the turkey you're going to eat today has been cooked sous vide and then flashed through the oven. So it keeps and retains the moisture, but then you finish it off in the oven.
Because the last thing you need is that dryness there, right?
Yeah.
You just want the outside to be that lovely crisp texture that just crackles in your mm-hmm. mouth. But you do want the bird to be nice and moist and wonderful, perfect. Have you got any, I don't know about you, Chastity, but in terms of tips for your turkey, your Christmas turkey that you prepare?
Oh my goodness. It's so funny talking about turkeys. It just reminds me, it brings me back to Christmas back home in the States and my dad sitting up all night just bathing that bird in whatever lovely, yummy goodness would drizzle off of it. But it's funny, we also, you mentioned the crispy part. That's the stuff you fight over on Christmas Day. So it's like, no, I want that. So no real tips other than have my dad come over and cook a turkey for you because he has such dedication to seeing the process through.
He's the master in your family.
He is the master in our family.
Keith, you're not going to tell us that it's bad for us, are you?
No, of course I'm not. There's no way, and even if science proved it, it would be wrong.
Yeah, there is absolutely no way. But, I mean, this is the time when we want to be enjoying these beautiful things that we don't normally, indulge in too much. After all, it has taken a lot of work, and we get into it, and we do that. So we do want to be enjoying it. But something that you've served up as well, Chef, is some lovely mulled punch.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a really nice thing to do this time of year, and the flavours in there. I mean, I've actually made it with apple juice, cranberry juice, orange juice, brown sugar, cinnamon, cloves, and then some lemon and orange zest. I actually put it all in the pan, bring it to a boil, then reduce it down to a rolling simmer for about 20 minutes, so you don't want it too long, and then strain it and chill it. And then the next day, warm it up or serve it straight away.
I need the recipe off you because this is what I've needed for the last week. You've got it right there. This is so lovely. And it warms you up inside in exactly the right way. Mm. It's just beautiful. Keith, your thoughts?
It warms your cockles. I mean, I've already drunk my punch and I've been delving into the starters, which are absolutely excellent as always.
Mm.
The salmon was excellent, and then is it crostini?
Yeah, it's a baton, French baton we sell in store that I've just basically sautéed down.
Yeah, that was lovely
a little
too.
Bit of butter.
The really sweet tasting peaches and the Christmas, and then kind of bang, you get that taste of the dolce latte. Is it dolce latte?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm going to have another one.
Mm. You can use any blue cheese, any type of blue cheese is fine. What I've done is basically I pan-fried the what we call a crouton, or a croute, if you want to be really posh, and then let it chill, and then with the blue cheese, just blend it with a little bit of cream cheese, just to ease it and be able to spread it easier. The peaches, I've coated in some balsamic vinegar, a little bit of brown sugar, and then roasted them till they're soft and golden, and then chop them into quarters, put them on top and a little bit of chive. As I say, all that could be ready in the fridge to go. So it takes away that pressure.
That's exactly what you need. You need these put away, and they just, the presentation is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It is simple. You know, we all just went wow as soon as it came into the studio, but it's something that everyone can prepare at home. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I could have, you know, done another cruiser for the smoked salmon, but I went and got a cracker we sell in store. As I said earlier, you don't need to make your life any harder than it is.
Yep.
The smoked salmon is a particular favourite of mine. It's our organic sweet cured smoked salmon, which I think is very good. And then, again, cream cheese blended with a little bit of horseradish, just to lift the flavour. And then we've got these lovely little micro herbs we now sell, mm-hmm. which are just really delicate, but really strong in flavour. People are often quite surprised that they come through so
and
well.
And these are fresh herbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the micro herbs. So an amazing variety there of bits and pieces put together in the right way. But, of course, people can get all of that information from Spinney's. You put these things together, and you know the best way to combine those flavors. But I'm just going through some of these lovely messages that are coming in from people talking about how they're celebrating their Christmas. Muthut says, I'm no good in the kitchen, but love to host people. My first Christmas feast is tomorrow, and it's going to be a combination of food from store, food from my guests, and my own little experiments in my kitchen. Food does indeed bring everyone together, and I'm most excited about seeing everyone, listening to all the kids laughing, carols in the background, and all of us being together. We've just moved into a new home with so many little things we didn't have in our old home, and that's what's gotten us most excited, having folks over for a meal in our new home. That is just, it's just really lovely. I love that. Painted quite a picture for us. Merry Christmas, and I hope it's a lovely one for you, Muthut, in your new home with your family. Yannick says, being from Reunion Island, it's an eclectic meal. We usually start with different small snacks, such as samosas, bonbon pimate, like their local falafel, steamed dumpling called bouchon, with salads including fresh palm of heart salad for a main course, lobster curry. Interesting. Uses turmeric and chili powder in there, going into quite a lot of detail, in tomato stew, in addition with a roasted meat, it could be chicken or beef, or served with rice and beans and stew. Dessert, summertime, it's a huge basket, 5 to 15 kilos of lychee freshly taken that same morning, freshly picked that same morning. As we are French, the most famous bûche de Noël, of course. Thank you, and bon appétit. I'm loving this so much.
Churchill comes over here to say we're doing splendidly, but it's very cold out here in the snow, marching to and from the enemy. Oh, I say it's tough, I have had enough, can you stop the cavalry? Say, oh yes, yet again, can you stop the cavalry? Mary Bradley waits at home in the nuclear fallout zone. Wish I could be dancing now in the arms of the girl I love.
That's the pick for Chef Mark Evans. That's for you. We are talking music, and we're talking, of course, movies. In Christmas time, the things that we really, really love to celebrate, and I know you'll be celebrating too. Let us know how you're doing at 4001 or on the app is how you can get in touch. We are talking starters. We've had our smoked salmon, Chef Mark.
Yep.
And the lovely peach.
Yep.
Yep, it's all out on the table, and we've been having some nibbles in the studio. Chastity, any thoughts on the starters? We haven't heard from you.
Oh, my goodness. Incredible. I think I just keep sniffing this I'm going to sniff it right now again. Yes,
we need more punch, I think. We need more punch. It is warming us up in all the right places, I think.
It is. It just smells like heaven. It's like an apple orchard. And there's certain things that I think you get so busy with, you forget that there are things that just go together, and don't overthink it. Like, you know, salmon, cream cheese, horseradish. Just don't overthink it. Peaches and blue cheese. I mean, that just sounds like just heaven on a plate. So, yeah.
And it is, yeah, because we've tried it, and it really, really definitely is. But something that we need to make sure that we give you is our first clue.
Guess the ingredient.
Yes, and that's here. It's today's mystery ingredient is known as the fruit of the gods and were used by the Greeks as signs of prosperity and for early Olympic training. One of the first domesticated fruit crops in human history, archaeological evidence suggests that today's mystery were originally cultivated in southern Arabia and became established throughout the Mediterranean more than 6,000 years ago.
Okay, that's your first clue. How do you, in terms of the Christmas meal, it's quite a feast and you're going to be eating a lot, but you've got to start it off with a lovely light starter, and the examples that you've brought in are perfect for that. But what else can we be thinking about in terms of putting a starter on the table?
Well, I think in many ways it's nice to do a range of fruits, you know, because again, you don't want to fill up too much, but you know, some nice grapes, some nice ripe rock melons and things like that. We can actually do a little platter where people can pick and mix what they want to try. So I think that's one of the key things. And you want to be a bit healthy, you know, and you want to make sure that it refreshes your palate as well.
Exactly. So, yeah. Refreshing your palate with the fruits, it's perfect because it starts you off and you feel like you could go on to the next meal and it's not going to be too bad. But definitely fresh fruits. Cheese is not quite so much.
Not really. I think it's just a bit too strong to start with because turkey's such a delicate meat and the vegetables as well. I think if you're going to do a cheese or you want a lighter cheese, something like a Brie de Meaux or something like that. You know, and that would be quite okay, I think. But keep it simple, you know, just with a few grapes and a little bit of celery and maybe some sliced good quality Fuji apples and stuff like that.
A good soup?
Definitely. I mean, I tend to do... we always have prawns, fresh prawns, at Christmas, but normally cold as a starter. What I'll often do for Boxing Day is I'll keep all the shells and I'll actually make a prawn bisque. And
then
we'll
lovely.
Have a nice warm prawn bisque. So you're using up, you know, leftover ingredients, roast off the prawn shells with some mirepoix vegetables, then add them into a pan with some tomato puree, fresh tomatoes, good fish stock, bring it up to a simmer, slightly thicken it, and then blend it with a blender and pass it through a sieve. And you got a really nice bisque. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Love a good bisque. Yeah, it's nice and creamy, but as well, there is a lightness there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I think about people get wrapped up about Christmas about consuming too much, don't they? And it's possible. We know that kind of, you know, excess can give us extra weight gain, but there's easy ways to offset that. If you know you're going to have a huge Christmas dinner, you know, do what I did in the morning. I had a piece of fruit and an egg because I know I'm going to get the calories in a large amount over this lunchtime and to the Christmas thing that I have to go to after this. So, and you know, trying just to stay active throughout the Christmas period is something we need to do. We've got time off. Going for a walk after a big meal has been shown to manage glucose levels much more effectively than obviously just sitting on the couch and doing nothing. So I think we still need to apply some very basic principles for energy management and expenditure throughout these times. I'm all for getting as much food as you can in on days like this, because there's such a wide range of great tastes. It's difficult not to, right? And that's what festive, you know, cultures throughout the world, festive periods, or not festive periods, but when times of celebration is about feasting, and it's about, you know, sharing all these good food with all your loved ones and then reaping the whirlwind afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. And nothing wrong with a bit of bone broth as well in there.
That's become such a big thing now, such a food trend as well.
Yeah.
And a lot better for you than, you know, a creamy, thick-based soup.
Yeah, Yeah, you do a very good bone broth, Keith.
Well, I have to say, mine is not as good as the stuff at Happy that they make now. But, I mean, bone broth is essential, especially when you're eating lots of muscle meats. People talk about the problems from eating lots of meat, but actually part of that is from consuming muscle meats rather than having the whole animal. And having a cup of bone broth with, or plenty of gravy with your festive treat or festive meal is one of the things that you can do to lower the high levels of inflammation that sometimes that we get from eating lots of food. Turkey, interestingly enough, is one of the highest amounts of tryptophan that you get in any meat at all. Having to avoid the excess tryptophan, go have a nice splash of gravy on it. But then don't get too wrapped up in what you're doing on your Christmas foods. Go out and enjoy your food. It's there to be enjoyed and not worried about too much about, worrying what food is doing what so much.
Certainly agree with that.
Yeah, the things we learn. Apparently, that gravy is really good for you after all, so get it on there.
Oh, yeah.
Slather it on. Lovely. We're going to ask you later what makes a really good gravy, if you've got any tricks, send those in as well. Somebody's texted in, I love Nigella's play on the word quackling. Well, she actually admitted that it wasn't really from her. It was from Chef Mark Hicks, who coined it in the first place. So there you go, quackling or crackling, whatever takes your fancy. There it is. But we do need another clue. Clue number two.
Guess the ingredients.
Okay. So today's mystery ingredient naturally helps hold in moisture in baked goods, keeping them fresher. It can be pureed and substitute for oil or fats in recipes.
Okay, clue number two to the mystery ingredient. Coming up next, we're going to be talking Christmas movies.
We can't destroy the dirt, we can't eat it. The only thing left to do is camouflage it. That's as far as my thinking takes me.
When they teach you promptness in the RN?
You'll never believe it, but I think I have the solution.
The problem is somehow to get rid of this tunnel dirt over the compound.
Well, of course.
Would you mind? Now, you fill these bags with the dirt from the tunnel. Then, wearing them inside your trousers, you wander out into the compound, where you pull these strings in your pockets. Out come the pins.
Eric, it's good.
All you have to do is kick it in. Unless you're a complete fool, the ferrets will never see a thing.
It's indecently brilliant. What do you think, Roger, eh?
We'll try it first thing tomorrow.
I already have. It works.
Mac, this is what we'll do.
And there it is, The Great Escape. One of the team's favourite Christmas movies, I believe, Joe?
It was indeed, yeah. The 1963 epic World War II film. And it is actually based on a true story of the escape of Commonwealth prisoners of war from a prisoner of war camp. And it has got an all-star cast. Can you name some of the star cast?
Steve McQueen,
of course, yes.
Yeah.
Motorbike.
Richard Attenborough. Yeah.
The guy from The Professionals. Wasn't he in that as well?
Oh, could have been. Donald Pleasance. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. It's one of our... And it's a long family movie. And you can sit and watch it throughout the afternoon. Not necessarily on Christmas Day. It could be the day after Christmas Day. But also... what's great about it is that instead of watching The Great Escape, you could watch Chicken Run, because it does pay homage yeah. to The Great Escape.
That's true.
You can watch both, and then the children can understand the other one, and it's great. It's one of our, the music and the all of the accents of the terribly British actors called Roger. And I just absolutely love it. It's my favourite. And we did try and get a clip from both. Interestingly, both Keith and Chastity share the same favourite Christmas movie.
Yeah, you guys love the same movie. It was quite funny because we asked you separately. You had no idea. And you both love
Trading Places.
Dan Aykroyd and
Eddie Murphy.
And Eddie Murphy, of course. But just one of the funniest, most hilarious movies.
It is. I think what I love about it is that it's not about Christmas, but the scenes are all so Christmassy, and it's just festive. The music, like, you want to live and you know, you want to meet Coleman, and you want to be friends with the character. So it's just...
Yeah, it's funny, most of the quotes I remember from that are actually not repeatable on air.
Hence my great escape clip, as opposed to trying to find a clean Trading Places clip.
Exactly, we couldn't find it. Yeah.
But
true.
Another one of my favourite Christmas movies is the black and white Christmas Carol with Alasdair Sim. It's absolutely, it's one of those just classic black and white films that actually you can watch over and over again. And I think most black and white films you could almost say is a Christmas film these days, can't they?
That's true.
They're nostalgic and they kind of bring the sense of the past and being together, and I think that's quite nice.
It's a wonderful life.
Most people, like, yes, I was going to say, would quote a wonderful life.
Yeah.
I also think the pace of the old black and white films, it tends to be slower. So everyone just has to kind of slow down and get into the movie. And that's it. That's what I make people do anyway.
I've just realised, actually, because you were asking me before and I couldn't think of a Christmas movie as such. Love Actually, everyone knows and loves that. But I'm just thinking now, Sound of Music. We used to watch that a lot, actually, around Christmas time. That would be on or whatever, and I love that movie so much. We should have got some Julie Andrews on.
The one that my husband does often put on, which sends me running out of the living room, is Zulu, Michael Caine.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Chef Mark, your favourite?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, actually.
Oh, classic.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Also, Scrooge. Do you mention Scrooge before?
With Bill Murray, with the one with Bill Murray in it. I think it's quite... really representative of sort of the 80s.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it was that time when, you know, greed was good sort of thing.
Oh, he's so great, Bill Murray. He's fantastic. Well, but we do need to have another clue.
Guess the ingredient.
Varieties of today's mystery ingredient include the Alma, brown turkey, Papa John, Italian black and Celeste.
Okay, that's your next clue. That's clue number three. For the mystery ingredient. Well, of course, Ardell. Home Alone. Yes. One of the biggest Christmas movies of all time.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree.
Yes, it is our Christmas brunch today. We are hanging up the Christmas lights and getting into the festive spirit. And you can follow us live right now on Facebook Live. Producer Joe is filming everything that is happening in the studio as Chef Mark Evans from Spinney's. He is carving up our turkey as we speak. He has been delighting us all afternoon with some gorgeous starters. The turkey is coming out now as we speak. The punch, you name it. Dessert is coming up later on as well. But in our Christmas brunch tradition, we've got with us in studio as well Keith Littlewood, rehabilitation and performance coach at Balance Body Mind, plus Chastity O'Connell, mental health counsellor at Human Relations Institute and Clinic. She's here too with her Santa hat on. We've all got Santa hats on because we're all getting into it. It's so much fun in the studio. But producer Joe almost talked me out of playing this song, Chastity. Can you believe that?
Why?
I know.
Why?
I know.
It is. I know. It's one of those songs that, you know what? It's one of those songs that no one maybe likes to admit that it's their favorite, but the minute it comes on, everybody becomes Mariah Carey, and you just want to be on stage just rocking out to it.
That is exactly right. That is exactly how I feel about it. All those years ago, I think 20 years ago it came out or whatever it is, it was probably the first Christmas song that really had me, and I was just like, yes. That's it.
And I never get tired of it.
No.
No, 100 years from now, this is going to be up there. There's going to be like Silent Night and Jingle Bells and Mariah Carey.
There's Jingle Bells, there's Mariah Carey. Keith, you've got in front of you as well a plate of all the trimmings that are coming out with the turkey as we speak right now. We've got the roast Hasselback potatoes.
My favourite, actually, one thing that I took from last year was how nice Hasselback potatoes were, and one of the few things that I went away and made last year on my own. So thank you, Chef Mark, for inspiring me. Yeah. I noticed the turkey looks very different from your average turkey. Why is that?
It's a crown, basically.
A crown.
It's a crown that's basically been boned out and then stuffed. And as I say, it's got the candied peach and oats, thyme and sage stuffing within it, which has also got a blend of eggs and chicken breast to bind it.
Very nice. I'm just about to dig in and try it, so I may be out of action for the next minute or two.
This is the problem right now. Everyone's digging in. We're not going to be hearing from anyone in a sec. We're all going to be busy tucking into this gorgeous, lovely really turkey.
Oh, thank you.
You started off, though, Chef Mark, telling us about what makes a great turkey. What, in your opinion, what is it that makes a great turkey? Biggest tip.
I mean, the best thing is to get one that suits you in the sense of for the size of guests that are coming and what you want to do with it. Do you want it an easy carve? Obviously, we have free range. You have organic. There's bronzes. There's so many varies out there now. It's what's convenient for you.
And how do you, in terms of what you're basting it with, in terms of what are you putting on it? Is it the butter? Is it the herbs? Is it the spices? Different ways of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely butter. often...
a nice big butter.
Block of butter.
Well, the nice thing is with butter, we have some specialist butters. So we have salt and pepper butters. We have smoked garlic butters. You can put it under the skin. You can cut into the skin and the flesh and push it in. You can put in herbs. A lot of people like to do that. But I think for me, if you actually baste it properly through the cooking period, so that you take the time to let the turkey recovered with the butter and the oils and the natural juices, I think that's a big key to it. But also don't, you know, I like to cover mine first with a bit of baking parchment and foil just to get it going. And I always cook it on a trivet of vegetables so I can then use that to make the gravy.
Yeah, perfect.
It's going to come to the gravy, and part of that is to get all the juices and all the fats and all the flavours roasting into carrots, celery, onions, all there as what we call a trivet.
Is there apricot in the stuffing?
Yes, there's apricot. And,
I thought I had a little like
candy
surprise.
Peach. Yeah, there you go. Well done.
It's so succulent. The turkey, I've never had turkey this succulent. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that reason we talked earlier about the cooking process, you know, that's why I'm saying you don't have to do sous vide, but in theory you're doing the same thing. It's just vacuum cookery where you're covering it to start with the baking parchments and the foil. She's sealing in all that juice so it's not evaporating into the oven and into thin air.
So that's for most of the time that you're cooking it, and then is it about half an hour before the end that you would take it off?
I would say half an hour is more than that. But also let it rest. This turkey's been resting for 40 minutes, believe it or not, covered with foil.
I've heard actually as well, I mean, other chefs say that you should let it rest for as long as it's been cooking.
There's always that debate, but I think with a turkey, you know, if it's a big turkey, you could be waiting until Boxing Day before you eat it. Do you know what I mean?
You want to get into it.
You've got to be, you know, sensible about it, but again, you still want to serve it so it's nice and succulent and warm.
Speaking of serving, I just loved how you were just slicing through it. You weren't fighting with the bird. It was beautifully presented in like this almost like roll.
That's really what it is, to be quite frank. It is a roll. And over the years, I've done a lot of these sort of three bird in a roast where you bone and roll the whole bird, or you take the crown and you bone it. Because what you remember is, as I said earlier, every turkey and most poultry, 50% of them is bone. So actually you're cooking the bone. And people would argue it tastes better when it's cooked on the bone. And I wouldn't dispute that to a point. But if you've got it cooked properly and succulently, to me with turkey, that's more important. You know, how many of us sat there with a eaten piece of cardboard? You don't want to be doing it on Christmas Day if you don't have to.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than it drying out.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you need, but get the butter in on there.
Without a doubt.
But what about stuffing in terms of, because that there's that debate as well, in terms of do not stuff the cavity of the bird because you want the airflow to be going on in there.
I totally agree. I would only really stuff it if I was boning it. And again, depending on, you know, traditionally you would want chestnut stuffing. I've done something that's a bit different today, but we do chestnut and we do chestnut stuffings. It's personal choice at the end of the day. It's nice to have a change, isn't it? You know, what it does do with the stuffing is I've used minced chicken thigh and breast for two reasons. The thigh gives real depth of flavour in there and the breast gives a good body to it.
Within the stuffing?
Yeah. So what you don't want is a stuffing that's so hard and full of like nuts. And when you go to cut it, the whole bird rips apart. So you need to think about that a little bit. So don't make it too tough or with too heavy, big size ingredients. Because as you well pointed out, the apricots are very small. They are dried apricots that started life probably 30 mil across. But I've diced them down to 5 mil. So it makes it easier to cut through. And that's part of it as well.
It's the citrus flavours and the sweetness of the fruit that just goes so well with something like turkey, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice type of change, isn't it? You know, I mean, you can have the cranberry sauce and the roasted chestnuts on the side, and it gives a real nice talking point, really.
It's a pop of fresh flavours in there. Lovely. Keith?
I'm just hitting that point again where I'm trying to pace myself, but the food is so good, it just has to keep going in.
Yeah, says our health expert. If he can't handle it, no one can.
Well, I'm all about the balance today.
Yeah.
I'm all about the balance. I've got a quick question about the cock, using the bones and stuff. Do you have any cracking recipes or anything extra that you do when it comes to making broth? Any tips that you can throw away?
The thing for me, if you're doing broth, is to actually make sure you crack the bones open a bit. But also roast them well, you know, roast them through, brown them through, get all that sugars browned and caramelised. Do it with a load of veg, do them together, and then let them caramelise right through. And then we, in French cookery, you have espagnole and estouffade that become demi-glace. And espagnole, one's a stock and one's a brown sauce. You combine them together 50-50 and reduce them by 50%, and that's how you get a great demi-glace. But if you don't brown the bones and the vegetables and get that colour in there, you're never going to achieve a good flavour profile.
Right, okay. And time frame for cooking those?
Till it tastes right.
Okay.
Just keep it on a roll and simmer, and when you think you like the flavour profile, adjust the seasoning. Always skim it as well, though. Make sure you take off that, the sort of fatty broth that comes at the top. You must skim that and remove it, and that takes out the impurities. So if you do that, you're on the basis then to consomme. So with the consomme, you then crack egg whites, reduce the temperature right down to warm, drop the egg whites in with the shell, and that clarifies the stock, and then you gently remove it, but you mustn't stir it fast. So that's how you get beef tea and consomme.
Nice. I'll have a crack at that, for
all
sure.
All of these really great tips from you, Chef Mark, on getting a great stock and as well getting a great gravy in the process too. Mm-hmm. In terms of this is the thing about this kind of food, you want to take your time with it. Mm. You do not want to think, I've got an hour or whatever it is and yourself.
I think these are some things, if you're going to debone the turkey, you can make the stock a few days before. So that takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
You can then make the gravy if you want to as well the day before, if you roast off the vegetables and bones and you can get ahead with some of these things. You don't have to panic and try and do it all on the day. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of chefs do is they will make a stock, you know, and then they'll freeze it in ice cube trays.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Because then it defrosts easier.
Yeah, but also if you want to make a small amount or large amount,
you can measure it.
Pop one out at a time. Mm-hmm. And it makes it, you know, far more controllable is the best way of describing it.
Yeah, nice.
But when I make turkey gravy, the thing that's most important to me is that you actually use some of the thigh meat. If you're not going to keep it and you're just going to have the breast, use some of the thigh meat or the drumstick, roast it through, and then put that in the stock and make a really nice broth, you know, proper, full-bodied. And then the other thing to do is make sure there's plenty of fats in there. But when you've made the broth, strain it and put it in the fridge. Chill it down because the fat will all rise to the top. You can remove the fat And you can use that to cook your potatoes in or your parsnips. So you get all that nice flavour profile back into your veggies and your potatoes.
Because that's just such a great tip, because then you're not wasting anything.
No.
You're using every part of the bird. You're using the fat, you know, to cook your vegetables later on and that kind of thing. It's just brilliant. Nothing goes to waste, and it's something that will keep you fed for at least a week later.
Definitely.
Won't it?
Yeah, I did some work at the beginning of this week about using leftover turkey and foods, and it was absolutely brilliant. We did roasted parsnips with turkey strips into a beautiful risotto, you know, and I did it as a workshop.
Lovely.
At Spinney's, and we fed 30 people with one turkey breast.
Wow. It's just the ideal meal for getting together, and that's a great thing as well, because the last thing you want to do the day after Christmas is be cooking. So keep those leftovers coming. It's great. We love it. If you've got any tips on anything you've heard, how you're cooking your turkey, what you're doing, what you're putting on the table, let us know, 4001 or on the app. Before we go to the break, though, Chastity, you like particular sides with your turkey, don't you?
Pardon?
You like particular sides with your turkey.
Yeah,
there's the cranberry sauce.
Cranberry sauce. I was just thinking about that. There's something about cranberry sauce that just makes Christmas Christmas. It makes the holidays the holidays. Maybe it's because it's red and it gives a little, like, you know, pop to the plate. But that tartness, that tanginess, seeing them for sale in the grocery store, there's just something about that ties it all in. And people have different takes on it. Some people add like orange and walnut, and some people are purists and prefer. I like it always.
I think we're going to have to come back and talk about the stuffing and everything that goes under that cranberry sauce in just a sec. But also from you, Chastity, I want to get some tips on how to survive the holiday season, the chaos that can ensue at home. But Chastity, I think you've got...
Guess the ingredient.
Our next clue. Let's hear that one more time.
Okay.
Guess the ingredient.
So the country of Turkey is the largest global producer of today's mystery ingredient. They produce over 250,000 metric tons per year, with Egypt and Morocco coming in a close second and third.
That's a big clue coming up. More turkey, more stuffing, and lots more yumminess. Something to get you into the mood for Christmas. It is our Christmas brunch today, and that is Chris Rea, who unfortunately isn't doing too well right now. Apparently he collapsed.
Oh, yeah, on stage in Oxford.
Oh, my goodness.
I believe he's okay, though.
Yeah. Hopefully he's recovering well, Chris Rea, but we have been enjoying hearing about some of your favourites, your favourite music, your favourite movies that you love to watch at Christmas time. This is great. I saw this earlier. My favourite Christmas movie has to be The Muppets Christmas Carol. I have seven children ranging from 26 to 4 years old, and they have all been indoctrinated into this perfect family. Great. Thanks for that, Dale. That's brilliant. Ishmael texts in, come on, ladies, Boney M tunes ring in the Christmas spirit. I'm Muslim but love the vibe. Ishmael, I might just have a surprise for you coming up later on, so stay tuned. Janet says, I want to gift my daughter and son something different for Christmas, and this prize is something they would love to have as a Christmas gift. Can I just tell you, Janet, we have been enjoying this turkey, enjoying this amazing food from Spinney's, and if they win, they will really, really, really love it. The turkey is so soft and so tender. I'm actually just cutting it with the side of my fork. That is just, it just tells you how succulent it is. Absolutely gorgeous. Thank you so much, Chef Evans, in the studio with us. If you've just joined in, Chef Mark Evans, Product Development Manager at Spinney's, as well as Keith Littlewood from Balanced Body Mind, and Chastity O'Connell from the Human Relations Institute and Clinics. It's something that we love to do at the end of the year. We get a few of our favourites here on Dubai Today, celebrating the Christmas spirit together, and we love having you as well at our table. Tell us what you're up to, what you're putting on the table, what you'll be listening to. Rumor says, thank you, Sally. I never get enough of this song, Season's Greetings. Thank you so much. Season's Greetings to you too, Aruma. But Chastity, one of the biggest things that kind of happens around Christmas time, it's, you know, you're in the kitchen, you're cooking a great meal, and it's all fantastic, but there's just chaos. There's chaos. There could be your mother-in-law in the kitchen with you. Mm. You might be disputing over how Chef Mark is smiling.
I'm saying nothing.
Well done. That is the perfect position to take. But, you know, you're disputing over how to cook that turkey properly and whatever it is. How do you kind of keep the peace?
Oh my goodness, I think this is the topic that comes up again and again, especially with family visiting and all sorts of opinions. I think sometimes it's nice to just prep yourself before going into the holiday season with sort of managing your expectations and understanding, you know, what do you value about this time of year? What are you hoping to, I know it sounds strange to think about, what are you hoping to accomplish during Christmas? And what I mean by that is it a time where you just want to enjoy your family, or you want to take some time to, it's on the lead up to New Year's resolutions as well, but start to think about, gosh, what's important for me to focus on? This is a really incredible time of the year, and people are in lovely spirits, and the focus is on giving, the focus is on other people, which is nice, but it's also a time of just reflection, I think. So when you're going into the holiday season, what is it I want? What memory do I want to create? And I think once you do that, you can anchor everything else around, you can sort of have everything fall around that anchor. If it's, I want to focus on my children, or I want to focus on spending some quality time with my spouse, then everything else can sort of shift to the wayside. And that's the thing that you keep with you during the holiday season. So when your mother-in-law, poor mother-in-laws, right?
Yeah.
So when your mother-in-law is saying to you, the bird's going to dry out, the bird's going to dry out, you can just think, you know what, right now I'm going to let what she says go in one ear, go out the other, and focus on what's important right now. My children are playing happily. My, you know, husband is peaceful and relaxed. My wife is trying to make this incredible meal, and just focusing on what your goal is, or what you're hoping to accomplish.
Yeah, I think we've got more to talk about in terms of that in just a minute, in terms of remembering loved ones who might have passed away as well during this difficult time. But it really is a lot about renewing intentions, isn't it?
Yes.
We'll talk about that more in just a sec. But another clue to give out.
Guess the ingredient.
Today's mystery ingredient are a good source of dietary fiber, vitamin B6, copper, potassium, and manganese.
There you go. Nice and short clues today. I like it. Straight to the point. It's the Thursday brunch with me, Sally Musa. In fact, the Christmas brunch today. Plus, in the studio, we've got with us Chef Mark Evans from Spinney's. We're starting to get into the dessert here, and there's a lot going on in the studio. Lots of turkey, lots of beautiful sides, roast potatoes, the gravy, the stuffing, it is all there. He has spoilt us rotten as we speak. There is coming up as well mince pies, my first experience with a mince pie, you'll be pleased to hear. Christmas cake, Christmas pudding, Yule log no less. All of that is coming up, but in the studio with me as well, Chasity O'Connell from Human Relations Institute and Clinics, plus Keith Littlewood is here as well. And how are you going with the food there, Keith?
I've paced myself reasonably well. I know I have to go to a Christmas function afterwards where there's lots of tea and cake, so I don't think that's going to happen.
I can't believe you're going.
That's definitely not happen. And then I have a Christmas dinner tomorrow and then on Saturday. So I've tried to pace myself, and I haven't hit food coma status yet, but
I will try
at some point.
Oh, brilliant. But amongst all the food, amongst all of the celebrations, there is something that we do need to remember. It's an iconic song for Christmas time for so many reasons. So many of us love it, but as of last year, it's become iconic for a whole other reason, hasn't it? George Michael singing there, of course, as part of Wham! Last Christmas, but he did, of course, pass away a year ago on Christmas Day. And just recently, his former bandmate Andrew Ridgeley, he told of how he fell to his knees and cried like he'd never cried before after hearing the news of George Michael's death. And he died on Christmas Day, as we mentioned, at the age of 53. And Andrew Ridgeley said that he was consumed by his grief after losing his longtime friend and colleague. And Ridgeley, who scored success with hits including Last Christmas and Wake Me Up Before You Go Go, as part of Wham! In the 80s, wrote in the mail that he had sent Michael a message wishing him a wonderful Christmas just 5 minutes before learning of his death. And he said, "That night, after I'd phoned our friends to convey the dreadful news, and despite having shed an ocean of tears already that day, the sheer eviscerating sense of loss cut my legs from beneath me on the deck and on my knees, and I cried like I'd never cried before." It's incredible. It's extraordinary, you know, their relationship. But this is something that a lot of us will go through during the holidays. For those of us who have lost loved ones and remembering them again, and I believe it's got a term, anniversary effect. Is that right, Chasity?
Yes, that's correct. Earlier I was mentioning that it's such a happy time, but at the same time for many folks, especially those that have lost loved ones and experienced trauma, the holidays brings up, it can be a very painful time. And yeah, there's this term called the anniversary effect, wherein it's this annual echo of the loss or the trauma that happens. It could be because of the death of a loved one. It could be a more traumatic experience or an accident. And it's there, and having, you know, the holidays brings that painful experience to the forefront. And so for a lot of people, the holidays are a time of struggle.
And it's a good time, though, to find a new tradition to celebrate that loved one, so that they are, you know, even though it is a difficult time to remember them, they're still with you and you still remember the good times and the goodness of what you shared together.
Absolutely. And that's part of what people that have experienced loss struggle with. It's how do I keep them with me? How do I keep their memory alive and honor the place that they've been in my life for so long? At the same time, I still need to live. I still need to move forward. I still need to work through this. So how do I honor my past and still have space to, you know, look forward to a future and see how that unfolds. Mm-hmm. So as you were mentioning, creating a ritual, it could be the letter that you write to them the night before, you know, Christmas Eve. It could be the candle that gets lit at the table to represent that they're there and they're part of you. It could be a ceremony, a small ceremony that you have privately or with other friends to honor, you know, the loss, particularly with those that have lost children.
Cooking their food that they used to cook.
Yes.
Their special recipes, your family recipes that hopefully get passed down from one generation to the next, and keeping those alive, because that's part of our history and part of our heritage and part of our love for each other. It's a great way
Absolutely.
To do it, isn't it?
Yeah. And there's some great traditions around, you know, taking 10 minutes at dinner and having everyone go around the table and tell their favorite story or their favorite memory of that person. Mm. So there's all sorts of ways to incorporate the past and honor that past.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you if you're doing something similar as well, 4001. But is that something that you've got quite a bit of, Chef Mark, those recipes that get passed down?
Yeah, quite a few, actually. A lot of them have come from parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. And I was one of the first sort of people in my family who went in to be a chef. So it was always very interesting. I actually was going through my garage back in the summer, and I was finding recipe books and old recipe sort of menus and things that are 25, 30 years ago.
The things that you've collected
and,
over
yeah,
time.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. Some of the wording, you know, I had things like on a tomato coolie, you know, things like that, which are like really 80s, 90s, sort
yeah.
of slightly pretentious these days thought of, but it's fashion and everyone goes through it in one way or another.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of my family were fishermen, so one of the things that we fished was brown shrimp in off North Wales. So one of the things that's very traditional for us, if we have a family gathering or a funeral, is we always have potted shrimps available for the guests every time.
Cottage shrimps?
Potted.
Potted shrimps.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. Okay. Yeah. Well, these are those things that just stand the test of time, isn't it? And you keep that and
very simple. It's shrimps that have been boiled in seawater, hand-peeled, and then tossed in a little bit of pepper, and then covered in fresh butter.
And it's local to where you're from. It represents yeah. you, who you are, where you come from. We love that. We love that simple food that represents who we are. But it is all about Christmas. It is all about celebration, bringing it back to the celebration. Now, we're going to be talking about your desserts that you've brought in, the Christmas cake, the Christmas pudding, and mince pies.
Yep.
I'm so happy that
your
I've...
Your first one.
Yes, I've had one before. I did admit that last time that it was terrible. And if you have something for the first time and it's a bad experience, you never go back to it. But I'm so happy to have had these ones because they're so much better than anything I could have imagined.
Well, these are from the Gift of Taste, which is our Christmas theme.
Mm-hmm.
So these are our Gift of Taste to you, mince pies. And, you know, they're very different. They're a sweet pastry, but they haven't got a complete topping. They've just got a star, so it actually reduces the amount of pastry you're eating and makes it a bit lighter and, you know, not as stodgy. On the Christmas cake, we've been making these Christmas cakes now for many years. They're very classical recipes. We use all fresh, you know, dried fruits, and we use fresh date puree with marzipan and icing. But what we do with the actual Christmas cake, we only make about 1,000, and we hand number them.
Really?
Yeah, by hand. Someone's there with a pen. And so they're all handmade, completely hand-finished. The decorations, everything are all done.
So you only make 1,000 because they're handmade?
Yeah. You know, they're quite difficult to make and also quite time-consuming.
It is quite time-consuming. How long does it take for the whole process for making a proper Christmas cake?
Well, these were probably done about 2 months ago, as in the actual blend and the mix and the marination. And then they would have been baked and left to mature for a few weeks, and then they would have been covered. So probably up to 8 weeks.
Thoughts, Keith, on Christmas cake and pudding?
I've always been really well spoilt when it comes to Christmas cakes, because my nan was an exceptional cook, and my auntie, who used to cook for the Duchess of York as well, used to make staggeringly good Christmas cakes that were made usually 2 or 3 months before, I think. And so I've always done really well with Christmas cakes, and I'm quite partial to a good Christmas pudding.
Nice.
You can't beat a good Christmas pudding. And I've just actually tried the Christmas pudding and the Christmas cake, and they're both very, very good. I'm eyeing up the mince pies right now, and they look quite good, because there's nothing worse than a really stodgy mince pie with too much pastry, like you just said. So having a little less pastry and more filling for me is where it's at.
I can tell you from experience, they're just right.
Yes.
Chastity, we're going to come back and hear from you in just a minute, but before we do go, we've got our last clue to give away.
Guess the ingredient.
Okay. So
yeah, let's go.
All right. Today's mystery ingredient can be paired with Stilton, with walnuts and burrata cheese, roasted with shallots. I'm getting hungry reading this. Eaten raw, drizzled with honey, a scattering of toasted nuts and some clotted cream, goat's cheese and rocket. The options are endless.
Clearly, yes. We could have gone on and on and on. Yes, we're wishing you a Merry Christmas with our Christmas brunch today, featuring Chef Mark Evans of Spinney's plus Keith Littlewood and Chastity O'Connell are here. Lots going on in today's show. Hopefully lots of tips for everyone on how to cook up a great meal and avoid the stress. That was a big one for us, Chastity, making sure we avoid the stress. Chef Mark giving us some great tips on making sure we can prepare early, what we can do beforehand to save ourselves the trouble and the stress. Keith has just been enjoying the food. You have been
always.
You've been trying to keep us healthy as well. But, you know, part of being healthy, as you like to say, is being balanced. So you've got to enjoy it. You've got to indulge a bit. But
yeah, and I've only eaten more than I would today to help you guys out, because I thought you guys weren't actually picking up the slack as well as you could do. So I wanted to help you out. But yeah, equally, you know, Christmas is about enjoying yourself. It's about having fun with people who you care about. For those of you who like to exercise, tone it down and go for a walk. Stop thinking about competition. Just go out and enjoy the birds in the trees and or the water, wherever you're walking. Go and walk in the mountains. Go and walk with somewhere that's a bit more greener than usual.
Yeah.
For the people who don't do any exercise, go for a walk after dinner. You know, do something that's really just going to help support your biology. Don't worry too much about the food. If you've eaten too much, you can always cut back the next day. You might find having a cup of raw grated carrots or a bowl of mushrooms really good for helping your digestion later on in the afternoon, and a cup of bone broth as well will always go down well.
And for the mystery ingredient, we also have a winner that we need to announce. But before we do, Aruma, my word, that last clue has me salivating no end. I can't wait to dig into a feast of all that as soon as possible. Yes, it was quite a feast, Aruma. You really need to do it. And to get everything, Chef Mark, it's all available at Spinney's.
It certainly is. It's all available. What I would advise, if you do want some of the boned and rolled and stuffed joints, be it lamb or turkey, that you go into store and pre-order and pre-book them, and go online as well and just check availability. But it's all there. We've still got plenty of time. 22nd, I think the turkeys launch, 21st, 22nd in store. They're available from there. But I would always advise you pre-booking.
Make sure you pick up your Spinnies magazine as well. Recipes in there, lots of tips, really fabulous.
All the
stuff.
Food we ate today, the turkey, the hasselback, the green vegetables with the maple vinaigrette, and the parsnip and carrot mash, they're all in there.
You really cannot go wrong. But for the mystery ingredient, it was, of course, figs. Dale says, oh my gosh, please stop. The show is making me very hungry. Still have another 4 hours before we get home. So hopefully that has provided you with lots of inspiration.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.